1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Beloved, who's he talking to?
Us.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Yes.
But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Father, we love you. We praise you. We come to you right now. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your word. It's true. God, help us, Lord, to hear your word this morning. Help us to show us, Lord, the way that you have us to go and walk. Father, help us, Lord, to sharpen our lives this morning, God, to do your will, to be that ambassador in this wicked world. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to preach on time. I wasn't going to tell my title, but I think I'll go ahead and tell it. So you can be thinking about it. Amen. I want to title this message this morning, Something Smells Fishy.
Yeah, yeah.
Something Smells Fishy. Amen. Come on now. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That's what the writer said in the book of 1 Peter. The fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed through the trial, right?
Yes, sir.
Ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Then he tells us, if we back up into chapter 1, he tells us, previous to this verse, he says, wherein you gladly rejoice, now though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Anybody ever been there? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, there's that fire again,
yes, sir.
Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Can I ask us a question this morning? How do we handle trials? I didn't ask you if you go through trials, because we do. That is a given. I don't understand some preachers that will get up and preach and say, well, go ahead and get saved and all your problems will be solved. Well, in a sense, I believe that I know that he is the problem solver.
Yes, sir.
But life does not get easier. Only does it get easier through the way that we handle the trials.
Yes,
not necessarily the trials themselves. We still get sick. We still go through financial difficulty. We still find ourselves in places that even the world finds itself. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so, he says, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Think it's weird. I know we do because of our faith. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we go through something, we automatically say, but Lord, didn't you say that you would provide? Didn't you say that you would heal? And that is a good attitude that we want to believe so much that God, and God will do it.
Yes, sir.
He can do it and he will do it. But there are going to be times in a Christian's walk where you are going to have fiery trials.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have flat tires, and you're going to have sicknesses, and you're going to have a financial difficulty, and the bank's going to be on zero, and the car's going to break down, and somebody's going to talk about you, and somebody, come on now, and we are going to have trials in this life. And he says, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. Don't think it strange. But I want to know, how do we have, not that if you do, because I know you do.
But
how do we handle those trials? How do we face those trials? Do we look at them as as curses? Do we look at them as punishment? Do we look at them and resist the trial? Oh, that's a big one right there. Because a lot of times, Brother Robert, what we'll do is, as children of God, we'll say, no, I don't want to go through that.
Right.
I don't want to face that.
Come on,
I don't, yes, Lord, just do this. And you say, no, I want to do this. Come on now.
Come on.
Yes, amen.
Sir.
Come on. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Besides Brother Smith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, I want to do this. My flesh wants to do this. My feelings want to do this. My mind says do this. But
come
God
on.
All the time is saying do this.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. Amen. How do you handle trials? I often wonder, you know, we always talk about the fiery trial. And here in Peter, we're talking about the fiery trial or the trial that is of your faith being much more precious than of gold. He compares it to gold being purified in the fire. He
yes,
says,
sir.
Though it be tried by fire, it's your faith is more precious than
right.
gold.
Come on, brother.
He yes, says, he compares it to that gold going into the fire and being purified. And the same thing God does with our faith, it becomes, as the fire burns us, we are being purified,
yes,
becoming
sir.
More stronger in the faith. And so, I like that the way he says that. My mind always, when I talk about a fiery trial, what's the story in the Bible that comes up? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It always comes up. We think about the three Hebrew children and how they went through a literal fiery trial.
Amen.
Amen. Not just a figurative fire. They really went in the fire.
Right.
Amen. Come on. And I'm going to read that. Daniel says, tells us in chapter 3 and verse 4, then a herald cried aloud. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour, listen, be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And you can imagine the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were in Babylon at this time, under King Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. They had a choice. They worship God Jehovah.
Right.
Amen. They worship the one true God. And here a king was asking them to bow down and worship a false God.
Right.
And so their dilemma was, do we bow down and worship the God, or do we stand up and proclaim our faith in God and
now.
Be burnt in a fiery furnace?
Yes, sir.
Now that's something to face. What would
yes,
you?
Sir.
I mean, I know our trials. We have choices to make, but I don't think any of our choices so far in our lives have resulted in, well, if you make the wrong choice, you're going to burn in a fiery furnace.
Right.
It may have felt like a fiery furnace. You may not have liked where you were. You may have been upset. It may have hurt you. It may have crushed you. It may have, a lot of things may have happened. Amen. But I don't think any of us has been burnt up yet. Amen.
No,
come on
no,
now. Amen. So we think about this. This was a literal trial by fire. And if we skip down to verse 14, we find Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, because they said, we will not bow. That when it happened, when they played the music, everybody fell to their face, bowed to this false God, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm and did not bow down.
Yes,
and so what they do, the first thing they say, O King, Shadrach, Meshach, and Chaldeans, them Hebrew boys,
yes,
they have not bowed down to the God. And so here Nebuchadnezzar's question, he says, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound, he said, okay, I'm going to give you another chance.
Yes, sir.
If you be ready, as soon as you hear the music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Yes,
we don't have to think about it. We don't have to debate about
come
it.
On,
we don't have to have a discussion about
no,
it.
No, sir.
We don't have to question about it. Come on now. Amen. He says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king.
Yes, sir.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. He said, it doesn't matter what happens to us, we are not going to bow. We are not going to worship this false god. Oh my, think about that. Now, how would we handle that trial? How would we go? And a lot of times we think to ourselves, man, I'm going through the fire. Oh, but the story goes that they threw the three Hebrew boys into the fire, and they got into the fire. They were the people that threw them in. They had heated it up seven times hotter.
Yes,
the people that threw them in burnt up, and they got into the fire. Amen. And the only thing that burnt was their bonds that was holding together. And the Bible, come on now. And the Bible says they were down there, and Nebuchadnezzar peeked into the furnace and looked down, and he said, did we not cast three men into the fire? Amen. But there is a fourth man who is like unto the Son of God. And they were down there walking in the flames. Come on now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God delivered them. And a lot of times that's what we do. Amen. So I'm going through a fiery trial. Amen. I'm going through what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And I know God is going to be with me in the fire. We always preach it that way, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Well, that would be good if we handled it that way.
Right, that's right.
Woo, come on, man.
Go ahead.
We do. We say, man, I'm in the fire. The Lord's with me in the fire.
Come on,
amen.
Man.
But we do that in church when our faith is way up here.
Listen.
Come on.
Go ahead.
But you got to see how they handled this trial. The three Hebrew children, They didn't even think about it. They didn't have a discussion about it. They didn't contemplate what they were going to do. They didn't have to even second guess. They didn't have to hesitate. They didn't have, we're not even careful to answer me. Hey, but you know what it means to be careful to answer? You know, sometimes when somebody asks you a question, a lot of times we say, I need to pray about it.
Yes, sir.
Let me think about that and get back to you. Anybody do that? That's wise to do.
Right, that's right.
Because a lot of times we get in trouble is we answer right away.
Right,
and we say, well, this is how I think or how I feel. And it ends up being wrong a lot of times. What was the best thing to do? And I found that some of the wisest men that I've sat under, and my pastor now, if I asked him a question now for the caraway, he'll say, let me pray about it and get back with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I could ask him some of the simplest questions that I thought he could answer right away. But he says, no, let me pray about it and get back with you. That's wisdom.
Yes, sir.
That's wisdom. But when it comes to serving God, we ought to be to the place where we ought not have to think about it.
Come on.
When somebody asks us a question about, are you going to serve God or are you going to serve the devil?
Listen.
I'm going to serve God.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let me see, what's the consequences?
Come on now.
Amen. Come on now. And we second guess God. But that's what we do in our trial.
You're right.
That's what we do when we have difficulties. When God, when say our money gets low or we get sick. Come on now. Or somebody talks about us. And you know, sometimes have you ever, let me just use this thought because it's kind of a general thing there that I think all of us have faced.
Yes, sir.
You ever been someplace or in church or around some people and you thought, man, they're talking about me.
Come on, preacher.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Come on.
They're talking about me.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Not just Brother Smith, right?
Amen.
They're talking about me.
Amen.
Amen. I've been there many times. And you know, I have found out that more times than not, they weren't even thinking about me, much less talking about me.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? You walk in the room and they're over there like this, you know, and they're, you know, and they look back and they stop talking, you know. They're talking about me.
Come on,
dear. And wasn't that, you say, well, that's a little, I'm just using this as one example. It could be anything. Sickness, finances, it could be all kind of things. Amen. But this one thing. When you walk in that room and automatically the devil starts using that against you. And you start thinking they're talking about me, you know. But we need to, in our mind and in our heart, be so decisive about that.
Yes,
even if they were, Brother Robbie, even if they were, Brother Bob, talking about me, it will not affect how I respond and how I react to them or anybody else. Because I'm a child of the King. And praise God, if this is another fiery trial, I will gladly accept it. Oh, come on now, because my my faith is more precious than gold. Amen. It's worth. Come on now. And if He so chooses that this would be my trial, then praise God, I'll go through it and still have the right attitude.
Come on,
but what we do is we second guess it and we say, well, they're talking about me. I'm going to give them an attitude.
Come on now, listen.
And they may not even be talking about you. And they may be talking about you.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes there's been times when I did walk in a room and they were talking about me. Amen. Should that make a difference?
No, sir.
Should it make a difference? Listen, think about the three Hebrew children. What would it have hurt for them to fall down and worship a God that didn't exist?
Come on, brother.
In their minds, they know the scripture. There's only one God and no other God besides God.
That's right.
And so if that's true, when the music played and they fell down and acted like everybody else, it really wouldn't hurt. How would that hurt anything if they knew that they knew that that wasn't a real God?
Come on, yes, sir.
Come on now. But it's the same thing as whether I knew they were talking about me or not and how I reacted. I'm going to react the same time every way. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not even careful to answer you. And they didn't even go into it. It could be false, it could be real. They said, we're not going to bow. And when in that situation, your reaction should be, I am not going to treat them people any differently. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to take it out on them. I'm not going to do anything. If they are, so be it. If they're not, so be it. I'm going to have the same attitude. That is how we handle trials. But know how we handle, how we usually handle, how Brother Smith, how we in the flesh a lot of times do, is then we make the wrong choice. Like this other brother I want to talk about in the Bible. A lot of times we compare our trials with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but it's more like old Jonah.
Yes, sir.
It's how we are like.
You're
right. We're more like Jonah, I think, in a lot of ways than we are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
You're right.
And I think we should be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego than Jonah. Why do I say that? Because look what happened to Jonah. The Bible says in the very first verse, in the very first chapter of the book of Jonah, he says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Jonah, preacher, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.
Right.
But Jonah, He went right down like God told him to, right?
Yes.
No. He marched right down to Nineveh and went to preach a litany. No. Right? Come on now. What did Jonah do? Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus.
Yes.
So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it and to go with them into Tarsus from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
He said, I've got to get away from this place. God wants me to go preach to them heathens. God wants me to preach to them evil, wicked city. And they deserve God's wrath. I'm going to go the opposite direction. That's what we do in our trials.
Sir.
We look at our trials and we oh, here we go.
I'm going to use that same example.
Walk in that room and they're talking about, or the preacher got up and said something and it was right on us, or some minister across town said something about us, or some church member said something else about us. And what do? We go right to somebody else and say, watch them people, they'll talk about you.
Come on, listen now. Lord help us. Come on, brother. Go ahead.
Watch them people, they're mean. Watch them people, they're hateful. Watch them people, they'll run you down. Amen, come on now. And you'll go the total opposite direction from what God wants you to do.
You're right, brother, come on.
And what does it do to our trial? Let me show you what it does right here. He rose up from the presence of the Lord. And if we skip down in verse 16, what happens is he gets on the boat going to Tarsus. The waves are starting, the big storm comes up. And everybody, very superstitiously, says, all right, it's somebody's fault that the storm is here.
Right.
Well, they were saying it out of superstition, but really it was true. God had sent the storm for Jonah. And so Jonah, he stands up and he says, I am the one. I am the guy. It's me. It's my fault.
Yes.
He said, I'm running from God, and I shouldn't have, and it's my fault. He said, throw me overboard. The Bible says that the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah, what happened, they threw him overboard. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Amen.
Come on now.
And so we find Jonah. Amen. In the belly of the great whale, a fish. Amen. A whale. Amen. He's in the belly of this great fish. Think about it. Amen. How many times have we, through our trial, whether it's a financial difficulty,
Lord,
and we didn't trust God, or a sickness, and we didn't trust God,
you're right, man,
or a trial that somebody's talking about us around us, and we didn't trust God?
Come on, Pastor. You're
come
right
on now.
Lord, help us.
Why do we tell others about when somebody's talking about us? Because we want to make sure that people know about it and they don't get hurt, right? Why? Because you don't trust God to do that.
Come on.
You intervene. It's always our problem. We don't trust God. And the same thing with Jonah. He got out there when God told him to go to Nineveh, and what happened? He didn't trust God. He used his own thinking. He said, them people are crazy.
Come on.
Them people are wicked. Them people are horrible. They'll never repent.
Come on.
He didn't trust God. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They could have reasoned and said, this thing's a fake God. We could bow down. They are going to throw us in the fiery furnace. We could just bow down, and then later on, we could just say, he didn't testify. I mean, they could testify that we didn't believe that it was a real false, real God. And so, we could just say, hey, that's how God brought us through.
Yes,
that's how we reason. That's how we reason.
Come on, yes, sir.
It's not how we're supposed to reason.
No.
Come on now. We're supposed to trust God.
Listen.
We're supposed to face it eye to eye and trust God. Jonah should have said, well, God, if you said to do it, then I'll go do it. That's how we face a fiery trial. I mean, it is a fiery trial, yes. It is difficult, yes. But how do we handle it? How do we face it? How do we approach this fiery trial? You are going to have trials.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, how do you handle it?
Come on now.
Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or like old Jonah? Let me show you what he did. Jonah got there in the belly of that whale. He got there in the belly of that great fish, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple.
Yes.
The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed around about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. He was in a vine, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Think about it. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with their bars was about me forever. And yet thou hast brought me my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He's praying. He said, God, I'm in the belly of this whale. That's terrible. I shouldn't have done it. He's basically repenting.
Right.
I shouldn't have done it. I should have done what you said do. And this is our problem, church. We get to the place where we didn't trust God to begin with.
Right.
We get down into the belly of the fish, and we start crying out to God.
You're right, brother.
But great, it's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that all that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He starts repenting. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Come on now.
Come on now.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. You know what these two situations have in common? Number one, the three Hebrew children, they obeyed God.
Yes, sir.
Number two, Jonah, he obeyed God. They both obeyed God. One of them took a little longer. How do you handle your fiery trials? That's my question this morning. How are you handling what you're going through right now? Are you handling it with a great attitude? Are you handling it with trust in God, full trust in God? Or are you like Jonah? Which I'm afraid we are more like Jonah.
Right.
But next time we use that trial, we say, well, I'm like the three Hebrew children. I'm going through a fiery trial. No, you just say this. And if you know it's true, amen, if it's true for you, say, oh, I'm like Jonah. I'm a little hard-headed.
I'm old now,
but I know I'm going to make God. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah.
Hey man, I had this thought the other day. The three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire and came out not even smelling like smoke.
Right.
The Bible says when they went in and they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke.
Right.
If they had obeyed God so pristinely and so precisely and so wonderfully executed that they obeyed God, that when they went in the fire and came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Nothing was sins. You couldn't even tell they had been through a trial. But listen, this is more like us. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish and came out smelling like fish vomit, and then he resisted and then he obeyed God. Come on now. Amen. Listen, amen. Our problem is after our trials, we're all beat up. Amen. We're all messed up, smelling like fish vomit.
Listen, yes, sir.
Don't we?
Yes, sir.
But we made it.
Made it. Come on, Pastor.
I'm still here.
Come on, Pastor.
You know how we do.
Praise God. I've been through the ringer, but I'm still here. Praise God. I may not look like much, but I'm still here. What kind of testimony?
Come on,
Jonah.
Yes, sir.
It doesn't have to be that way is what I'm preaching.
That's right. That's right.
I'm glad Jonah obeyed God.
Amen.
And I'm glad even though sometimes it looks like we have gone through the ringer. And I'm glad even though we walk around smelling like fish vomit.
Come
on. I'm glad.
Come on.
I'm glad at least we are obeying God. At least we're hard-headed to a point, but at least we're getting the point.
Right, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's going to take some of us, Sister Tiny, 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish.
Right.
It's going to take some of us to go through a storm and be cast over the boat and be swallowed by a fish and to stay down there for 3 days and to be vomited back up on the shore. Can you imagine what Jonah looked like when he stood up on the bank of that shore and he walked down to Nineveh and he said, repent!
Come on.
Why did they repent? I hope he did too.
Come on, Pastor.
Come on now. Look, what are we doing to ourselves? Young people, especially.
Yes.
Can I say this?
Go ahead.
And I love you. I love you with all of my heart. And some of us older folks that are here can attest to what I'm about to say.
Yes.
I have learned the hard way. And it wasn't because I wanted to do it the hard way. It wasn't because I wanted to smell like fish vomit.
Right.
It wasn't because I wanted to be beat up and lose things and lose friends. It wasn't because of that. It was because I was hard-headed.
Yes, sir.
It was because I was young and inexperienced and didn't know a lot of things. I thought I knew a lot of things, but I didn't know a lot of things. And now I realize that the older I get, the less I thought I knew. The less I knew what I thought I knew. How about that? And so what I'm trying to tell you is this. Young people, you don't have to be like a Jonah.
No,
older people, you don't have to be like Jonah.
Amen.
We can be just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that trial that you're facing or getting ready to face, you say, Brother Smith, right now things are going really good. Wait till tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Wait till next week. Wait till next month. Any of us folks that's been saved a while know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Wait till next month. Wait till next year. You may be facing the trial of the century. You may be facing the worst trial. I've always said this. There's times you've heard me say it. I've always said this. This trial that you're going through is always the worst one ever, isn't it?
Right, that's right.
That's because that's the one you're going through right now.
That's right.
Amen. But if something smells fishy, come on now. If something smells fishy, don't look up. Don't look at God and say, God, why are you doing this? If something smells fishy, don't look at God and say, God, why have you failed me?
Come on, Pastor.
God, why am I still in the same rut that I've been in? If something smells fishy, don't look upward. Look inward.
That's right.
Come on, Jonah.
You're right. That's right.
Jonah did the right thing. He didn't look up and say, God, I'm a preacher. I'm on this boat about to sink. God! It's got to be one of them gods. I'm a man of God. No.
Listen.
He said, it's me. Throw me overboard. He didn't look upward. He looked inward.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Today, right today, some of you are going through things, and this week you're going to be going through things, and some of you have already been through things. And what you've done, instead of looking inward at yourself, instead of looking at what you have done, or what you may have missed, or why you have disobeyed God, you've been looking up and saying, God, I'm serving you now. Why am I going through this? So next time something smells fishy, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's an old timer saying. I don't know. When we used to say something smells fishy, just something ain't right. Something ain't right. You know, these old investigators say something smells fishy around him. Something's fishy about that man's story. Right? Remember that? That's how he said. And so you look at your problem. You know when you're going through a trial if something ain't right. You know when you're going through something and something ain't right. And usually that's because something you have missed or you have disobeyed or you have messed up. If it isn't going, you say, Brother Smith, how in the world does a trial go right? So when you go through it and you come out not smelling like smoke, that's when it goes right. When you go through it and you come out smelling like a fish or something ain't just right, or nowadays the kids say it's a little squirrely. Oh, they don't say it now? That's something we've said. One of our, okay. It's a
generation.
Probably wrong state. They say in Arkansas, right? Little squirrel. Amen. That means it just ain't right. It just ain't right. Something ain't right. And we begin to question the trial. Come on, it's one thing to have a trial. Then it's another thing. You ever been there? You had a trial, but it's another thing to question the trial. Why am I going through this? And don't look up. Look in. Carol, would you come? Don't look up. Look in. Jonah, you're in the belly of that great fish for a reason. God's not just providing you a shelter. You're in the belly of that great fish for a reason. Your trial is extra warm for a reason. You've been singed by the fire for a reason. Come now. And it's not because of God, because God never fails. It's not because of God, because He is perfect. He never fails. But it's because of me and what I've done. What I've brought upon myself. I'm glad I want to take the attitude of Jonah. When you get in that place and you're there, all you can smell is fish guts. That stinks. And this whole trial stinks. It's just stinks. Pray. Start magnifying the Lord. Start glorifying God. Obey Him. Obey Him. Obey Him. Turn around and do a 180 and turn around and do the other thing. Do the other thing that you didn't want to do. Whatever it is. Obey God. Obey God. Amen. How do you handle trials? How are you handling your trial this week? How are you going to handle it next week? That's my question. That's what I want you to think about. That's what I want you to pray about this morning. That's what I want you to focus on right now when you talk to God. We're going to find ourselves a place to pray. Matter of fact, let's find ourselves a place to pray. And when you get down, when you get before the Lord, when you talk to God this morning, I want you to ask Him this question. I want you to ask Him this question. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Lord, how am I handling my trial? Don't you look inward at yourself. How am I handling this? How am I dealing with this trouble? How am I dealing with this heartache? How am I dealing with this pain? How am I dealing with this financial difficulty? How am I dealing with this sickness? How am I dealing with it? Am I dealing with it good? How about the persecution? How about the frustration that I have with my life? Or whatever it is, your family problems, your children, your spouse, your neighbor. How are you handling the trials, church? How are you handling it? Come on, let's pray. Praise God.
it's so weak.